The scripture comes from Matthew 17:4-5. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Let us be hearers and doers of God's word. Amen.
When the morning comes, it's going to be all right. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, all God sent gathering home will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for his thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, oh, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by.
Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verses 10 through 11. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Amen. Let me see it. I want to say good morning. It's a beautiful day that God has blessed us with today. It's like every other day we've been able to be a part of. It's a beautiful day, whether rain or sunshine, snow or hail. It's a beautiful day to know that God has blessed us to be alive on this side of the living. And shortly, I'll open my Bible to the book of 1 John and also the book of Matthew chapter 13. 1 John chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 13. And my invitation is for you to join me there as you look at these verses for the text for the day's lesson, Hearts That Hear. That slide on there, Brother Bing. The next slide. There you go. Hearts That Hear. 1 John chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 13. Hearts That Hear. I want you to listen as we look at 1 John chapter 1. I want you to listen to how John, in a very, very personal way, talks about his relationship with Jesus. He talks about his personal relationship with Jesus. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. You know, these words of John are just full of meaning, and they write with emotion when you look at them. And there are two dominant thoughts that come out of this writing from John. The first is John's personal connection with Jesus. I mean, six times he uses the phrase, we. And he says, we were there and we were involved. And this is not some secondhand information that John is giving you. This is firsthand eyewitness account of all the things he says that we've encountered. And the second is that John incorporates his senses here. He says, we have seen with our eyes, we've heard with our ears, and have touched Jesus with our hands. And this testimony provides validity to the gospel that he has already written, and provides validity to the testimony that he's about to give in this same epistle that tells us how the Lord wants us to behave. So John and the other apostles in the Lord in such a way that you and I, now you can keep on thinking, that you and I can only imagine. And he says that which we've seen with our eyes and our ears have heard and our hands have touched. They saw him, they heard him, and they ate with him. They were there when he cast out demons, when he healed the handicapped. When he restored sight to the blind, they were there. When he cleansed the lepers, when he raised the dead, they were there. And they saw expressions on his face when he would speak about the coming of the kingdom of God. They saw the hurt in his face when he was betrayed. They heard the tone of his voice when he told the story of a prodigal son that brought pain to his father. They told the story of a child who left away from home and brought pain to the father. Let me just tell you that there are a lot of things that happen that people bring pain to the ones that they love, and it's all because of a selfish motive. Who have you brought pain to? Who have you brought pain to in your life because of your own selfish deeds? They saw the expression on Jesus' face when he told the story of a prodigal son. I mean, you can't imagine the pain of a parent when a child just does what they feel like they want to do now because they feel like they are grown. They feel like they're grown and they're out of your house or they're still in your house and you're fussing with them every day about this or that, about getting stuff right. It's just, listen, the father that's depicted in that story is God. And if we as a children of God don't break anybody else's heart, which we can't say we haven't done because we've all broken somebody's heart, we break the very heart of God in our lives. And that's who Jesus is talking about there. And they saw his expression when he spoke about breaking the heart of God. They experienced Jesus. They experienced him up close and personal. They knew what he looked like. They even recognized the sound of his voice. They not only knew who Jesus was, they wrote for us an eyewitness account of their time with him so we can have that same joy too, so we can come to know him as well. And we look at Romans 8:29. The Bible said God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his dear son. And the fulfillment of this scripture is to know the image we ought to be transformed to look like. How are you going to know what to look like if you don't know who it is? Romans 8 tells us that we've got to know what he looks like in order to be transformed into his image. And that's important. It's important. Because there's so many people out there who want to mold Jesus into an image they think he should look like, rather than the image that he actually is. It's sort of like they want a Play-Doh type Jesus, one they can reshape to be less demanding. A Play-Doh like Jesus, one they can reshape to be more accepting and more like man and less like God. They want a Jesus they can do what they want to do with, and they don't want God at all. Then secondly, it's important because when we look at Jesus and we hear him, we learn how to be like him. How to be conformed to the image of God's dear son. When we hear him and we look at him, We know what it is that God wants from us when we look at his son. So today, what I want to do, I want to speak to hearts that hear. I want to speak to hearts that listen to Jesus, because it's very important to appreciate what Jesus has said. I want to speak to hearts that are listening to God this morning. I mean, when you think about Jesus and the miracles he performed, the very first miracle was in Cana of Galilee. He turned water into wine at a wedding feast. And Jesus' mother was there, and she spoke these words. She says, whatever he says to you, I want you to do it. Do it. That's a pretty good principle to live by. Whatever Jesus says for you to do, are you listening? Do it. Do it. Because when you think about it, Jesus was first and foremost a teacher. He was a teacher and a preacher unlike anyone else. In fact, even his enemies confess that never a man spoke like this man. God the Father would say, he would talk about Jesus at the Transfiguration, and he would say, listen to him. Listen to what Jesus says, because when you listen, only then will you learn. You learn. The people who heard him in the first century knew that he wasn't a mere mortal, because the language that was used when he described the things that he said, the language that was used, it says that they were astonished and they were amazed at Jesus. We hear things all the time. We do. There's so much sensationalism going on in the news and on Instagram and Snapchat or wherever that social media stuff is. We hear things all the time. Sometimes we are impressed. Sometimes we enjoy it. Sometimes we just like it. But seldom are we truly amazed by what we hear. But not with Jesus. Not with Jesus. Because his words were vivid. His words were so vivid that he spoke of wolves dressed like sheep. His words were vivid. He spoke of camels crawling through the eye of a needle. Imagine this in your mind's eye. He spoke of people who take tweezers to try to extract a speck of sawdust from someone's eye when they had a big plank in their own eye. He spoke of houses being divided and throwing pearls before swine. Jesus' words were those that captured our imagination. And sometimes his words were intimidating. Sure they were. His words are not always nice and neat little stories. Often they were not bedtime stories you can close your eyes and go to sleep to. Sometimes his words, in fact, were daunting. He would talk about thieves that would come in and rob you. He would talk about servants that would sleep and they're just lazy all the time. He would talk about rebellious and runaway children. He talked about servants who would beat and kill other servants. He talked about latecomers to the wedding feast who were denied entry because they weren't vigilant in waiting on God. Sometimes his words were indicative of pain. Sometimes his words were indicative of disappointment and hurt. Sometimes the words of Jesus were indicative of brokenness. But his words were always authoritative, always. He forgave when others wanted to throw rocks. He praised when others expected him to rebuke. He often answered questions with questions in order to expose hypocrisy. He made demands, issued challenges, and raised expectations. He angered his opponents, and he offered hope to the hopeless. And all of that, his words were final. There was no higher court that you can appeal to. His words were not open for debate. They weren't open for compromise. And his words were not open for modification. I mean, when you think about the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke to individuals much like you and me. He spoke to us. And at the end of that message, when they thought about all that he had said and all that they had heard, the text says that they were amazed and astonished at his teachings. We're talking about Jesus here. Because he spoke as one having authority and not merely as one of the scribes. But for all that Jesus said, for all that Jesus did, for all those red letter words in your Bible, the importance of that to Jesus was that we would have hearts that hear. All those things that are written, all those things that we see, that we've heard, the importance when it comes to Jesus is the fact that whether we have hearts that hear the words of Christ, and whether we want to obey them or not. He says in Matthew chapter 7:24, Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Whoever hears my words and does them, he is a wise man. And many of the sayings of Jesus were in the form of parables, about 38 or so. They were amazing stories that capture our attention and stimulate our thinking and ultimately enlighten our understanding. When you think about Matthew chapter 13, it's a series of 8 parables about the kingdom of God. And they're designed in particular to remind us to listen carefully, to think critically, and to apply accurately the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He begins with what we call the parable of the sower. And that's designed to talk to us about the kinds of hearts that we have and how receptive our hearts ought to be to the word of God. Think about it. What kind of heart do you have, and how receptive are you to God's word? And all the while, his message is it's entirely up to you. It's entirely up to you. You're responsible for you. He would say in the parable of the sower, it's entirely up to you. His words are clear. They are very clear. But we have to decide whether we are going to hear it. We have to decide whether we're going to open up our hearts and hear the word of God. Matthew 13, the parable is told in verses 1 through 9. An explanation of the parable is given beginning in verses 18 through 23. So we want to start this morning looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And the Bible says, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spake many things to them in parables, saying, here we go, listen to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Verse number 5. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Verse number 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse number 8. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what God has to say. And as we think about being conformed to the image of God's dear Son, as we think about that, Jesus says in this parable of the sower, it's all going to depend on how your hearts will hear. It's up to you. What type of heart do you have? Do you have a heart that hears, a heart that listens to God? Because Jesus said just now, he says, it's easy to have a heart of stone. There will be some who will listen, but they do not hear. It's just like your mother used to say, do you hear me? And you know she wasn't talking about, are you hearing me with your ears? What she meant was, are you listening to me? And if you listen to me, I need you to obey me. Don't just hear me. That's what the Lord is asking. He's asking, do you have hearts that hear? When we look at Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 12, the Bible says this. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But look what the scripture says here. But they refused to heed, and they shrugged their shoulders. They were la, 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 la. I don't want to hear this. They refused to heed the word of God. They shrugged their shoulders. They stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts, the prophet said, like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the former prophets. You ever get to that point where somebody's talking and you just turn them off? Sometimes our hearts are not receptive to the words of God and we turn him off. We shrug our shoulders and refuse to hear. We stop up our ears and we la, 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 we don't want to hear it. That's you and that's me. We're not exempt from that. There's nothing new under the sun. People just do not want to hear the words of God. They say they do, but where are their hearts? Are they listening? Listening. And my question this morning is, how could someone listen to the very words of God? A God who has reached down and told us of his mind and his will and have a hard and callous heart about that. For some, it's because of their family background. Some people just don't know, listen to me, no better. Some people just was never taught any better. Some feel that Christianity is for the weak and the Bible is for the ignorant. And they hear that from the day they were born until the time they leave home. And they leave home with a family background whose heart is as hard as stone. And theirs is no different. For some, it's repeated sin. They can't hear the word of God because it's repeated sin. I'm not talking about someone who's made a mistake one time and immediately corrects the situation. I'm talking about someone who repeats the process over and over. They can't stop sinning. They just keep stumbling. The prophet Elijah asked, how long are you going to stumble between two opinions? If God is God, let him be God. Stop stumbling. Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, as we look at it, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The Hebrew writer says we ought to encourage one another daily so that we don't become hardened criminals spiritually. Encourage me so that my heart doesn't become hardened. I become a criminal to God through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. It's enjoyable. It tastes good. It smells good. Sin looks good. But when you buy into it, if we don't encourage each other enough, you will buy into it and you will become a spiritually hardened criminal to God. For some, the reason that they don't hear God is because they got too much pride. If the focal point of our life is our accomplishments, if it's our status or our self-sufficiency, if the focus of our lives is our intellect, it's going to be very difficult for us to ever humble ourselves before God. As Jesus said, and become as a little child. Because we're not thinking about anything else except ourselves. We've done more than anybody else. Talking about our accomplishments. Our status is more than anybody else. We are self-sufficient. We don't need anybody. And we're smarter than, some people think they're smarter than everybody else. And you can't tell them nothing because they know it already. Let me tell you something. If the focal point of our life is that, it's going to be very difficult for us to ever humble ourselves before God. The reason why some have hearts that don't listen to God, because sometimes it's difficult circumstances. Just as in the parable, some people are doing fine until a difficulty arises. They do fine until life gives them a raw deal, until they decide that God isn't going to take care of them the way that he ought to take care of them. You give me a raw deal, God, so I don't want to hear you anymore. Where are you? What are you doing for me? I am in my misery. I've got a raw deal here. My life isn't even worth it. Where are you, God? So they don't hear and they don't listen. For some, it's persecution. They don't listen to God because they feel they're being persecuted. I mean, if somebody calls them to take a stand for their faith, they advance with trepidation because they know there's a price to be paid, and nobody wants to pay a price. They want to go out there and do it, but they don't want to pay the consequences. They don't want to do it. And the Lord said, some, because they don't have any root in them at all, some who have weak knees, some who don't have any root at all, when they are called to pay a price, they won't do it. They just won't do it. And the ones who do, some people go through it, and it makes them better. And some people who go through it, it makes them very bitter because they're not listening. They don't have hearts that listen to God. Sometimes it's people just like me, and it's people just like you. But this is all we've ever known. This is all we've ever known. I can't imagine not coming to church on Sunday and worshiping God. I can't imagine that. But this is who we are, and this is the very air that we breathe. But I got to tell you that it's so easy to be a cavalier Christian. It's so easy to take things for granted because that's how they always been, or that's how they're supposed to be. It's so easy because we're so familiar with the text that we never see through fresh eyes, that we never listen to God's word and read it as though we read it for the first time and falling in love with it all over again. We're used to the words from our wife. We're used to the words from our husband. Oh, I've heard that before. Well, hear it again and appreciate it again. Why can't you go back to the time when you really, really adored that person? When you really adored and hung on every word that they said, why can't you go back there? Because it's too cavalier to you now, and you're taking them for granted. It's the same thing we do with God. We hear his word over and over and over again. It's repeated, but we only hear it, and we don't listen to it. You've got to adore God and his word all over again and read it as if you read it for the first time. Fall in love with God again. Can you do that? It's easy to put our minds on fast forward. It really is. And never give a second thought to what we are hearing. You ever get in a situation where you say, you know what, I don't even know why that happened because I didn't hear him say that. You didn't hear it. How many times did that happen to you? Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay. All right. Jesus says, when you say things like that, when it comes to his word, and your mind's on fast forward, you don't give a second thought to what you're hearing, he calls it a heart of stone. You've got a heart of stone. But let me tell you what Jesus finally talked about. Finally, he talked about a heart that will hear. He talked about good soil. And Jesus, he didn't have to look for it. Jesus found good soil. I mean, really good soil. He found hearts that would hear. In Luke 17, he goes to the home of a Pharisee. And there was no good soil in the Pharisee's home. But he went to the home of a Pharisee and found there a woman that everybody in the house knew she was a sinner. And yet she came and sacrificed. And she wept. And she was sorrowful. And Jesus said, I'm saying to you that though her sins are many, they are forgiven. Forgiven. Because of her heart. He went to the home of a tax collector, a man who was despised by all. And he said, I'm telling you today, salvation has come to this house. He met a Gentile soldier. A soldier said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to even come to my house. I'm a man of authority just like you. I also issue orders and they are obeyed. And I know that you are the Son of the God of heaven. And you can say, do this and it will be done. And Jesus said, of this man, I have not found so great a faith, no, not all in Israel. And think about the woman at the well. Think about her who played Russian roulette with marriage. She had five husbands. Think about that. She had five husbands. But Jesus didn't condone any of that. But he said to her, I want you to understand that by the time we finish this discussion, you're going to have a life that's refreshed. You're going to know what it takes to have a life that's filled with living water. A life that's renewed day by day by day because you are hearing the words that I'm saying. She heard him so well, she ran away from there and went to the town and says, listen, I've met Jesus Christ. He told me all about my life and about my five husbands. And I listened. When you read the Bible tells you about yourself. If you put yourself in there, it will tell you about yourself. But do you want to hear that? People talk about everybody else, but they're not going to talk about themselves. I wonder why that is. So the point becomes, not that we would analyze others and try to decide who's good enough for the gospel. That's not the point. Not the point. What's amazing is that Jesus would see these people and he would see them steeped in all their circumstances. And you and I would look at them and say, you know what? They're not going to listen to Jesus. They're not going to listen to the Bible. Those people are not going to read. They'll never hear him. His words would mean absolutely nothing to these people, but it meant everything to them. It meant everything. So we need to understand our hearts to not analyze others and try to decide who's good enough for the gospel. Or whether or not they will hear it, or whether they're worth it. The truth is that we should recognize is that we ought to analyze our own hearts and think about who we are and do we have hearts that's going to hear. Not worry about whether this brother's heart is going to hear or this sister's heart is going to hear or this brother. What about your own heart? Do you have a heart that hears God? That's what we ought to be worried about. Talk about that. And if that's so, if we have a heart that listens, do you ever listen with closed ears? Do you? What I mean by that, do you ever go to the Word of God and read what Jesus said, but listen to it with closed ears? Could it be that sometimes we'd rather have our pet sin rather than the sovereign Lord of our lives? We'd rather keep that sin that we have instead of allowing Jesus to be in our lives who he wants to be. Let me tell you something. If there is some sin in your life, one sin, if there's just one sin in your life that you cherish, a sin that you keep real close to you that you've been holding for a long time, and you know deep down in your heart, even though you've asked God to forgive you 1,000 times, you know you ain't going to give it up. If you've got a sin like that you know full well you're playing with God, you're not going to ever give it up. But you ask forgiveness for 1,000 times, it's your pet sin and you like it. It's your pet sin and you love it and you're going to hold on to it and not let it go. I want to tell you, for as long as you do that, you will not be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. As long as you do that, you don't have a heart that hears. Don't. Because it's all about you and what you want to do. That's what it's about. I want to hold on to my bitterness because that's who I am. I want to hold on to the fact that you just can't tell me nothing because I'm going to tell you something back. I want to hold on to the fact that whatever it is you got is still sin, let it go. We got to be able to be transformed into not who we are now, but who Jesus wants us to be. Everybody's got a lot of issues. I've got issues. You've got issues. But Christ is the answer. Christ is the reality to that. And all we have to do is hear his word. We've got to hear him and heed him, and we've got to do it. It's hard to give up who you are. It really is. I mean, because we've got issues that come all the way back from when we were a child. And we carry those issues even today. And if we can bring those issues to Christ, he says, just bring them to me. And hear what he has to say and understand that his will is going to be done in our lives. We can have a heart that's conformed to the image of God's dear Son. But I want to ask you, if you have a heart that hears, do you listen with cautious ears? Do you come into the assembly and nod your head in approval so long as it doesn't cost you anything? You do that? Oh, yeah, I hear you preaching. Don't cost me nothing. I know he ain't talking to me. When it comes to a burden, when it comes to a challenge, when it becomes a commitment, when it requires a sacrifice, do you enter into selective hearing mode? Because we don't want to hear that. Because we've got to sacrifice now. We've got to commit. We are challenged. Do you listen with crowded ears? Could it be that when we come into the assembly, that it's really hard for us to focus on God because so much else is crowding our lives? So much else is crowding our thoughts and our memories, and our hearts are full with the world and not the things of God? Could it be that it's hard for us to focus on God? Because if we are honest with ourselves, we would have to confess that we really haven't decided just yet who's going to have the throne of our heart. Let me say that again. It's hard to focus on God because we haven't decided yet whether Jesus is going to sit on the throne of our hearts. Listen to me. We really haven't decided yet whether our life is going to be filtered through the Word of God. Listen to me now. Or whether the Word of God is going to be filtered through our life. There's a world of difference between the two. And you've got to make up your mind. Got to make up your mind. Is our life going to be filtered through the Word of God? Or is the Word of God going to be filtered through our life? It's a world of difference. I need you to hear that. I need you to hear it. The fact of the matter is, when you listen to Jesus, when you do what God says, when you open up your hearts and truly listen to him, what you're going to hear is profoundly different than you will hear from the world's religious circles. We hear a lot of things from the world's religious circles. We have the Greeks who say, be wise and know yourself. And some buy into that. We have the Romans who say, be strong and disciplined to yourself. And some people buy into that. We have the Epicureans who say, eat, drink, and be merry. Be sensuous. Enjoy yourself. We have our own human pride. You know what it says? Be superior. You're better than everyone else. Promote yourself. We have humanism that says, be capable. You just believe in yourself. And against all of that, against the backdrop of all of that, we have a Nazarene who was the God in the flesh. This Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, we have a Nazarene who comes to us, and you know what he says? He says, you just be humble and you deny yourself. That's how you're going to be conformed to the image of God. You just be humble and deny yourself. Forget about knowing yourself and disciplining yourself and enjoying yourself and promoting yourself. Forget about being superior and sensuous and strong and wise. You just humble yourself. Because when you humble yourselves, you have hearts that hear, and you will not only believe in yourself, you will believe in God. You not only enjoy yourself, you will enjoy your time with God. You will not promote yourself, you will be lifted up by God. You won't have to discipline yourself because God knows how to discipline the ones that he loves. You will only know yourself, but you will know God, just like John said at the beginning. I was there with him in the flesh. I saw him speak. I saw him eat. I heard his voice. And I touched him. And I beheld his glory. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe that right now, in this building, and the ones that's under the sound of my voice, live streaming or anywhere else, let me tell you what I believe. I believe that we are people who would say with the prophet Samuel, speak, Lord. Why? Speak to me, Lord, because your servant hears. That incredible. That's what Samuel said because Eli was to the point where he couldn't even hear God talk anymore. He was a priest of God and he was cavalier in his approach to serving God. His boys was even doing things that they shouldn't have been doing in the temple. And he told them about it. He didn't approve about it. But they did it because he wasn't doing what he should have been doing for God. He says, no, Sam, you go back and lay down. Ain't nobody calling you. I'm not calling you. Go lay down. Here comes Samuel again. Did you call me Eli? Boy, get out of here. Go lay down, I said. And then it finally hit him. Well, you know what? We serving a God that actually speaks to us, actually speaks to our hearts. He said, the next time you hear it, say, speak, Lord. Your servant hears. The next time you hear the word of God, the next time you read it, the next time you study it, come to appreciate it. And when you do, when you listen to God, you can say, speak, Lord, speak to me. Alice Walker, right? Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. Speak, Lord. We have hearts that hear. Speak, Lord. We're not shrugging our shoulders. Speak, Lord. We're not closing our ears. Speak, Lord. Speak to my heart. Speak to me, Lord, that I might be for you what you've called me to be. You know, a lot of people claim to have spoken to God personally, you know, but we know that's just a bunch of rubbish. They can say what they want to say. There are no scriptural proof of that at all. Jesus said, I spoke to you openly and in the synagogue, and in secret I have said nothing. He speaks through his word, Hebrews 1 and 1. He speaks through the Son only. Because if he speaks only to this brother, or speaks only to this sister, or speaks only to me, he's speaking in secret. And he says, in secret, I have said what? Nothing. Nothing. He speaks to us through his word. If we're going to get it, we have to have hearts that are ready to hear. Hearts that after hearing are going to be conformed to the image of his Son. Hearts that hear Jesus and his call to salvation. Hearts that hear Jesus and his call to repentance for those of us who are Christians already and have been cavalier about our walk with God. What a wonderful gift of repentance that we have from God. But it seems as if no one wants to hear that either. No one wants to repent before God as Christians. Why is that? Why is that? Because we've got that one sin that we just feel like we just want to hold on to. Is it gossip? What is it? Is it lying? Is it deceit? What is it? You know what it is. You know what you have in your own heart that's prohibiting you from hearing the word of God. That's stopping you from allowing Jesus to sit on the throne of your heart. You got to get rid of it. You got to hear him. You got to hear God. The question this morning is, when you hear him, will you listen to him? Will you listen? Will you heed him? Will you do that which he has asked you to do? On the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Lord, I appreciate being here, Lord. So if you will, let's make three tabernacles. Let's make three churches, Lord. Let's make three of them right now. Let's make one for Moses because he's here. Let's make one for Elijah because he's here. Let's make one for you, Lord. He says, nah, we're going to shut that down right now. He said, I got a son who's everything going to run through. And I want you to listen to him. So here's a little side note for you. Those who might be hearing, those who might be listening. If there was ever going to be more than one church, it would only have been three. A church for Moses, a church for Elijah, and the church of Christ. God shut that down, and Peter heard him. Peter said, okay, I got the church of Christ thing. No Moses and Elijah. I have a heart that hears. God says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. I hope you got that. That didn't cost you nothing. Jesus built only one church. One. And if you want proof for more than one, it's dispelled right there in Matthew chapter 17. God said, no, Peter, not happening. Not happening. And Jesus even told Peter, In the next chapter over, upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But Peter didn't hear him, did he? He didn't hear him then. He heard God on the Mount of Transfiguration, but he didn't hear him then. He says, no way, Lord, you're not going to do that. You know what the Lord said to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Because he wasn't listening. He had a heart of stone. And when we are not listening with our hearts to God, do we have hearts of stone? Or have hearts that are made of good soil that listens and obeys the word of God? I got to tell you that Jesus is calling you to that right now, this very moment, right now. And you've got a choice. It's like the parable of the sower says, you have got a choice, because all of us have hearts. Is it a shallow heart? Is it a stony heart? Is it a heart with good soil? Are you listening? Are you listening to God? Or are you shrugging your shoulders, plugging your ears up? He says, you got to hear his word in John 6:45. It's written in the prophets. And they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. Got to hear it. Got to believe that he is a Christ, John 8:24. If you don't believe it, he says that I'm he, you're going to die in your sins. And you never hear nothing else but torment and misery for all of eternity. You got to repent of your sins. That's one of the most difficult things for people to do, is say they're sorry. But to me, you become sorry when you don't say you're sorry. It's difficult. It's hard because we got to deny ourselves to say we're sorry. And how many of us wants to do that? We're stuck on ourselves. We're not stuck on God. We're stuck on ourselves. But he says you got to repent of your sins. He said, don't worry about those people in Siloam, Luke 13:3-5. He said, just like they repented, you got to repent too. And if you don't, you're going to die. We got to confess Christ. Got to confess him. It's a heart and a mouth thing. And it brings us salvation. Got to confess Christ. Got to confess him. We got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. But then a lot of people, okay, well, I haven't been baptized already, Brother Colin. Paul says in the book of Acts, he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you were baptized? You know what they're saying? We have not heard of such a thing as the Holy Spirit. Because we were baptized with the baptism of John. And that was before the death of Christ. But now with the death of Christ, he tells us in the book of Romans that we were raised from death to life, just as Christ was raised from death to life, to the newness of the Father. And we become one with Christ when we baptize into Christ for the remission of our sins. It's the only reason to be baptized, for the remission of our sins. Not because we're feeling good about it, not because somebody else told us about it, not because we found the crowd. We're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, and then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there's somebody who got the Spirit already, never been baptized. Don't know how they got it. They claiming it, though. I'm here to tell you, they ain't got it. Because the Bible is right. The Bible is true. The Bible is true. Peter stood up with 11. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit after baptism, not before. So whatever spirit they got, they might have one. I'm gonna validate that. But ain't the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And you can have that today. You can have it. You can be renewed by the Spirit of God, and you can have the Spirit of God into your life if you will only repent. If you're a Christian, and repent and be baptized if you've never ever understood the way of Christ. You might think that you had, but I mean, come on, you know, everybody learns something new every day. So why deny what you've learned, and why not accept the new learning that you might have a life that's secured in God? If we can help you to have a heart that hears this morning, why don't you come and stand and sing God's invitation song.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh, sinner.
Now's the time we set aside for communion. I'll be reading scriptures that concern this, coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and following. If you would like to follow in your Bibles or follow on the screen, just give you a moment. And it reads, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Let us go to God in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your broken body and the blood this morning, showing a true sacrifice of what was given for us, for your promises to be made true. Dear Lord, we ask that we look at these spiritual gifts, dear Lord, and understand them for what they are, acknowledging your sacrifices in our life, dear Lord, but also understanding the promise that is presented to us if we follow your word and be true to that. Dear Lord, I just ask that you open our hearts and minds, dear Lord, allowing us to examine ourselves truly and allow ourselves to be fit when we do partake into the spiritual feast. Let us all say amen. We also set aside time for the collection. There's also scripture concerning this as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and following. "And now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Let's go to God for the collection. Lord God, we thank you for these monies that were taken up today. I ask that you bless those that have given, dear Lord, and be with those especially who had a heart to give but couldn't. We ask, dear Lord, that you be round and about this congregation, dear Lord, and allow these monies to be used for the uplifting of your kingdom, and that solely. Allow it to fulfill your will within the world through our hands. We ask, dear Lord, that no corrupted hands touch this money, dear Lord, and allow the brothers that do count these funds do it honestly with you in their hearts and minds. In your darlings, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.